I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Time for all you bitches to take a seat. Because Jimmy G's back in the house, boy.
Is that like the worst possible thing to happen for the Niners?
Absolutely not. No, the worst case scenario for the quarterback room is to keep Nate Sudfeld. And Jimmy G is better than Nate Sudfeld. And being able to renegotiate that contract to where you're talking about 6.5 guaranteed instead of 20 something guaranteed for your backup. Oh. Still the highest paid backup in the NFL, but also it's great.
I mean,
and then you still have him. You can still trade him.
No one's trading for him in the middle of the year.
Somebody might.
No, they're not.
They're in the playoff and the quarterback gets hurt. They might.
You're just going to have a year of fuck. Trey Lance is not the guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to say, you're a Niner fan and you have a group of Niner fans you talk to. How soon does, we need to be playing Jimmy start game one, if Trace, first half? How fast? Because it's coming quick.
I think most Niner fans will remember how much they didn't like Jimmy Garoppolo towards the end of last year. I mean, because it was
like
last
all those
year.
Wins.
We're like 6 months past everybody going like, yeah, like, I love Garoppolo. I love the locker room guy that he is. I love what, you know, took the Niners to a Super Bowl, an NFC championship. I love it. But you see his limitations and you see what he can't do. And you see that he's hurt all the time. And so I don't think many Niners fans will look at this situation and be like, oh, we need to sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a 4-year deal. I think most of them are going to be like, well, Kyle sure fucked up on Trey Lance. Like, why did they trade all those first round picks to get this bum? I think that's going to be more it than anything else. If the season's a wash, I think a lot of Niners fans will be like, put in Brock Purdy. You know, like
Purdy.
They kept Brock Purdy instead of Sudfeld, by the way. That tells you how shitty Sudfeld was.
That's because Brock Purdy probably costs like $50,000 to keep on.
He was Mr. Irrelevant. He's making absolutely no money. And he will continue to as long as he's on that roster.
But this just, it's going to end bad. Because you can't come out and say, all right, Trey's our guy. He's going to be our guy.
Unless he's good.
Well, yeah, yes, unless he's good.
Yeah.
But,
let's let the guy play a few weeks before we say he's bad Ski.
He feels very Tua-y to me.
How so?
Like good athlete, can run well. I don't think he has that great of an arm and accuracy with it.
We'll see.
Now they could gimmick around that.
He was serviceable in like, you know, situations last year where he had to play because Jimmy was hurt again. So we'll see. This is his first chance. I mean, they obviously haven't shown anything in the preseason about what they're actually going to do with him this year. So we'll see. You mentioned my group of Niner friends. So we have this chat together. And so many times last year, there would be a situation where Jimmy would get sacked. Or, you know, just throw an arm punch because he's getting pressure. And it's like, God damn. Like, get somebody, anybody who could literally move at all. Like, at all. Just like Jimmy Garoppolo's like mobility was like a 3-foot range. Trey Lance at least can run out of the pocket and throw on the run. Maybe. Accurately. We'll see.
Possibly.
By the way, those were all my fans in the background supporting me for my Trey Lance Jimmy.
That's all the Trey Lance fans right there. Grumbling. They're already grumbling
in the background. You know, I want to bring up something that I just saw. I was telling you, King, before we started, I was watching some Tottenham highlights. I haven't seen the end of them yet. But like, I watched some highlights before that of Liverpool and Newcastle. And you mentioned all the time the fake soccer time. Like, they had fake soccer time.
Absolutely.
Like, to the fullest extent of the phrase. So first of all, the match is 90 minutes. All matches are 90 minutes. They added 7 minutes of extra time. 7 minutes of extra time. Again, fake time. They can just stop the clock. Like, whatever. And then beyond that, the clock is just running. Like, we're yeah. beyond 97. Like, it's 98, 99. And then Liverpool scores to win the game. And then the game is over. It's like, wait a minute. You just made that shit up.
It makes sense somewhat, but it's like, all right, there's 7 minutes of extra time, right? They're like, oh, they still got possession. So we're going to let them, like, keep going past the 7 minutes.
That was it.
How is there not just a dead stop at it's past the time? It's done. I don't care if you're about to shoot the ball. The time's up. It ends. It's like,
you know what time limit means? It means there's a limit to the amount of time. 97 is 97. How are we adding all this time because they have the ball? That's not how it works. If you have the ball and the time runs out, the buzzer goes off and you lose. That's how sports
works. Can soccer just figure it out and just stop the clock, like on substitutions and things? Just stop it.
Well, that's
then you don't have to have this fake time.
They have an official on the field regulating the clock on a personal watch. How is that a thing?
Yeah, old Sven Jorgensen referee here is just going on his like
Sven Jorgensen with
his fossil watch just like, I think we're good. We still got some time here.
Hang on, let me calculate this on the calculator of my watch real quick too. Let me see. 2 + 5, that's 7. We'll let it go to 9. Soccer. I love soccer. I really do. I love watching the Premier League. You are absolutely right. I've been convinced. The timing makes no sense.
It's fake. And they could just push a button that stops the clock and stop all the nonsense.
It seems very simple.
Yeah. I feel like every other sport in the world does it.
All other sports on Earth have a person in a building regulating the clock. Like, if it's off,
like here in America, like,
hey, fix the clock. And then they do it. And then they move forward.
Like here in America, we have sports where we parse a like 20th of a second because we have the technology. And in soccer, they're just like, whatever. 14 minutes.
Yeah. Ish.
Ish.
14 ish.
Yeah.
Give or take 2.5 minutes. Depending on if a guy falls down and sits there for a little while. It's unbelievable. Well, college football starts this week. Tomorrow,
college football started already.
Well, okay, that's fair.
Yeah. We had week zero games.
Week zero sucks.
I choose to ignore week zero because of what happened allegedly to my Bows. So we'll just...
Well, don't watch any Rainbow Warrior football this year.
Yeah. You were heavily,
those guys.
You were heavily invested.
They stink.
They're not good.
They got out to a quick 7-0 start there. And I was like, all right. It might not be too terrible, right? Ooh, no.
Like no. My one big week zero take, other than LOL Scott Frost is... that are like halftime of, or I think it was even the second quarter of Northwestern Nebraska. I went for a run. And I come home, I shower like a normal human, you know, and it's like noon at this point. Lay on the bed and I'm watching it, but I'm not really paying attention, you know. And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, gosh, dang, it got so dark. Is there a storm coming? It's like a storm cloud. And then I'm like, oh, it's 8:30 because they're playing in fucking Dublin, right?
In Dublin, yeah.
Okay, and I'm like, okay, yeah, duh. And so then I'm no doy. So then I go about my day, and all of a sudden the Hawaii game comes on. And I've been watching it, and then all of a sudden it's dark here.
It's sunny.
And it's sunnier than hell there. I'm like, My brain cannot compute this week zero. Stop. I don't even like this week. It's dumb. But I cannot.
There's no good games. No good games.
No. It depends on how you feel about Scott Frost, I guess, and watching him lose. But
does anyone have positive opinions about Scott Frost?
I like the tweet that Nebraska's about to end up in the Big Sky Conference, and the Big Sky Conference retweeted like, saying, "Yeah, we're good.
We're good." Yeah,
good on the Big Sky, by the way, for having a Twitter account.
Though, like the post game Scott Frost was just so peak Scott Frost, where he's like, "Yeah, our offensive play callers need to be more creative." Oh, okay. So you're in year five, and you're still just none of it's your fault. Gotcha. Yeah.
That's what you're gonna say.
Whatever. Like, good on you, I guess. But yeah, it's year five. Like, you're not making it to year six. They're not making it to year six.
Absolutely.
Scott, Scott Frantz wants more bubble screens.
Well, and
that's all
and
he needs. More screens.
My thing about that game is I have a rule, and I've said it on here. If you are on Facebook, Twitter, your friends, well, maybe your friends in a group chat is different, but a public social media forum. First quarter tweets, don't do them. Never tweet in the first quarter. Because I was looking at paid professionals.
Oh, yeah.
Titans of the college football sport. Be like, hey, this Casey Thompson thing. I'm all in. Scott Frost and Casey Thompson? Yup. Big season for the Cornhuskers. CT and SF? Count me in. Go Huskers. And I'm like, they've had three possessions.
I saw someone after.
And then at the end, half of them were like, ha ha, same old Huskers. Like, but you were all.
Week one, first quarter tweets.
Like you cannot jump in on the Husker jokes. You're right, though.
But you'd think like 20 or 30 years into being in the industry, these people would understand that at some point. Like, I've learned that lesson. I've learned that lesson the hard way.
Yes, you do, actually. Once a month.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about my...
No. The wife was
saying... Are you talking about my cycles?
No, the wife was saying she's a Cornhusker from day one.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate.
Sorry. I was hoping...
Well, I guess it depends on when day one was.
She wouldn't even know.
Yeah. Some Tommy Frazier.
Big college football fan over there.
Yeah.
No, but I saw someone say something after that first drive where they marched down and scored a touchdown. He's like, you people slept on my pick saying the Huskers were going to be good. And then the game's over. He's like, you know, he quote tweeted his own tweet. He's like,
oh, it's Brett McMurphy.
I took this one on the chin.
Was it him who was like, I am George Costanza, Lord of the Idiots? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. At least he owned it.
I like that. Yeah.
It was good.
But yeah, that was first drive chimed in on it. I was like, oh man.
We all gotta do that for the Duck game, by the way. Whatever happens, we gotta go over the top. Like, it means everything for the whole season tweet. Whatever direction it goes.
This somehow means
like a punt.
Bo Nix is going 5 for 5 on the first drive.
Yep.
For 69 yards and a touchdown with 10 yards rushing. That's nice. That's how, yeah.
Lock him up. He's got the Heisman on lock. It's Bo Nix
is Mariota.
Mariota flipped the coin. Bo Nix bringing the Heisman back to Eugene.
He's looking relaxed. I would not be surprised if he gets an invite to New York.
So relax, hanging with Mariota. Mahalo, brah, Heisman.
You know what I'm going to keep an eye out for? The first deep ball that is caught, how many like anti-Cristobal tweets are going to be following that play? Like, oh, nice to have a coach that actually tries to throw the ball downfield
Add
and things
throw.
Like that. Because I did have a buddy
watching Anthony Brown throw deep in the preseason and make the roster. It's like, God damn it.
I was going to say, my buddy
had crazy stats for Oregon, but it's like, oh, for God's sake.
We went over this a million times. They were all 5-yard dig routes that had 30 yards of yak after it. It's like, that's all it was.
No, what's funny is that's actually how Justin Herbert did the same thing in college too. So
yeah,
and in the NFL, if you believe in the yards in the air per attempt stat, which I am not going down that route with Duckger Twitter. Nope, I know that the stats tell me Justin Herbert threw the ball in the air 5.2 yards an attempt, but I will not bring that stat up because he throws it 70 yards every play. Best player in the league. I love him like a son, we'll Justin Herbert.
Like the all best, he the does best is throw deep in the NFL.
All he does is throw deep. Yeah. Yep.
He has two throws. He has the deep bomb, or Eckler caught like 8 balls a game last year.
Yeah,
those true. Ain't going very far. So he's got the bomb or the dump off, and then he get in the red zone. Then he might complete a 12-yard pass. That's it.
Yeah, but all those are going for touchdowns, especially against the Chiefs this year. So
oh yeah,
because the Chiefs are
0-17.
Oh, okay. I was hoping.
No. They played the Jags 1-16.
I was thinking he might get to 3. Is that?
Nah, I am sorry. Yeah, 1-16.
I'm taking the over. I'm going 3 wins.
You going 3? 3-14. Okay. Right. Yeah. We'll see.
You guys have any hot takes on Oregon's hot uniforms for the Georgia game?
I do, actually.
Let's hear it. Listener, go check them out. They're on all the socials for the Ducks. They're really bright green and chromatic a little bit.
They're the same uniforms. Granted, the design on the shoulders change a little bit. They've worn monochromatic uniforms since 2017. Stop. And I know there's like 4 games, but wait a minute, they wore white helmets in that game. Stop wearing monochromatic uniforms.
Agreed.
Like, and before I get into even Oregon part of it, Nike tried this with the NFL with Color Rush. No one liked it. They
literally
killed it
nobody.
After like 2 or 3 years. Like, yeah, that's a bad idea.
Not good.
Oregon, stop. You have good colors that pop. And I've said this before, like there are some colors it doesn't really matter. Like when the Beavers go all black, whatever, who cares? The Ducks, green and yellow. And I'm not even saying this as like color traditionalist guy. The colors just pop.
No, they're great.
You can wear monochromatic, like the playoff Rose Bowl against Florida State when they first introduced the apple green look, and it was monochromatic. Sick as hell.
So good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
You know,
I'm not
even
saying that the look is bad. It's just tired. It's either all yellow, all green, or all nightmare green, all black, all white. And then like twice a year they'll change a helmet. Just
they got the one duck one with the, you know, the orange socks and the white pants. And but other than that, yeah, they everything.
What are the uniforms we remember, though? Like the ones that really stand out in the last like 10 to 15 years. They're the ones where they wore like the really bright yellow helmets and like the green uniforms, and they mixed it up. Like those are always the ones we remember, the ones that look the best.
I always like the yellow top and black pants. Kind of like the
bumblebees.
People can say it's a bumblebee.
but it breaks it up.
I'm totally fine with
them. Dope.
And like I'm fine with what they're wearing on Saturday. Hey, they threw a yellow face mask on it to break up the all green quote unquote. Okay.
And like the wings
but it's
are
the
like
standard.
A white.
But it's the fact that it's just every week. You can look at the helmet and pretty much know, okay, that's all they're wearing. That color. Whatever that color is, that's what they're wearing.
Well, the whole point is creativity. And they're not being creative anymore.
No, they're not.
They're boring. Yeah.
And like we've all bagged on Casey Martin those like 2 years that he was like, hey, wear gray pants with a white helmet and a yellow top. Yes, okay. It wasn't a great look.
The sweatpants.
But you kept it fresh. I'm just tired of the monochrome thing. Like I'm over it. You can do it a couple times a year, but every week it's fuck.
It seems more of like an old school, you know, Big Ten team. You know, that's what they rock. They didn't have any flair to it. It's just like, oh, here's Michigan blue, and you have the, you know, little yellow bit in the helmet only, or
it's exactly,
you know, the Penn State colors. That's the Huskers. That's what it is. They were supposed to be different, not kind of going back to the old fuddy-duddy, you know, just simple uniforms.
Dude, it's exactly Michigan. Because Michigan wears the all dark blue uniforms head to toe, and then they have like the yellow helmet or the yellow logo on the helmet, and that's it. That's all they change. That's what Oregon is now.
It's just lazy.
We're better than that. We're supposed to be better than that. That's the whole point of Oregon, isn't it?
I don't think any of us are saying the uniforms they're wearing are ugly, right?
Not at all.
It's just
boring.
Just change it up. It's just boring.
Is this or is this not an exhibition game where everybody is going to be watching you?
Well, I was hoping that the uniform thing was a Mario thing where it was just monochrome. And because I don't know, there were teasers on socials, you know, like last week, the uniforms weren't changing. They were going to be the same, you know, basic design as last year. Fine. But again, just for the love of God, get some splash of color in there that contrasts something else. Just every once in a while.
Numbers yellow. Make the socks yellow.
Please.
throw me a bone here.
And what's so funny about this is people be like, oh, you old fuddy-duddies. This take could have been on E-Duck in 2002. No, we're not saying it sucks. We're saying aesthetically, raise the bar a bit. Throw a curveball in there.
Yeah, this is not the issue of old man complaining about flashy uniforms.
No,
like they're
not
made for you, old man. Shut up. Who cares? We like the flashy uniforms. We're on board with the flashy uniforms. These are not flashy uniforms.
They're just boring.
Yes.
And if you're an Indiana fan or a Georgia fan or a UT San Antonio fan, you probably tune in on Saturday and be like, those look good. That's fine. That's not what we're saying. Just as someone who watches, ingests the content for 12 straight weeks, a little variation. That's it.
I love the idea of like caring about what like UTEP fan thinks.
UTEP, I guarantee, is more creative miners now than Oregon.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the miners got the logo. Man. They got the bright orange, and I think they're blue as well.
I'm sure they got an orange lid with a pitchfork, a white lid with a miner just scowling at someone with a corncob pipe.
How have they never gone like a brown helmet with a little like light looking thing on the front, like a miner's hat on? How have they never got a helmet like that?
Well, because it's UTEP.
I don't have the funds.
Yeah,
you can put a sticker on there that makes it look like a lamp.
Yeah.
Or is that what they do for helmet stickers? They give little lamps that they put all over the helmet.
Lamps.
I'm with
that
you.
That would
man.
Be sick. That really would.
But you start in the front because normally they start like in the back corner or whatever. Start in the front and then build your
way out.
Right
in the front.
Oh, it's so good. Jesus Christ, UTEP, hire us. Do all your marketing for you.
Miners.
I mean, King's the number four Oregon football follow. Need any more
and the number one UCLA football follow.
Yeah, number one UCLA follow, number four.
Speaking
Oregon.
Of diverse, you know.
Honestly.
Are you a top 10 Tottenham Hotspur follow?
Oh, No. I don't even enter into that realm. Someone will call me like a baloney boy, and I'll be like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but I know it's bad, so I'm out.
Yeah, tread lightly jumping into that.
Yeah, I don't jump into that.
Into that lake.
Nope.
So college football starts officially tomorrow. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and I think we got a couple of Pac-12 teams playing Thursday and Friday. So like Arizona State plays tomorrow and then Colorado plays Friday. And then, I mean,
Colorado's tomorrow and ASU's Friday.
Here's it. Flip it. Okay. Well, really the big games this weekend, Oregon's playing one of them. And then you got Notre Dame and Ohio State. And by the way, Notre Dame and Ohio State is a humongous fucking football game to be like, to be the opening weekend?
Oh, it's crazy about both those matchups. is Oregon and Notre Dame, both like 17 point underdogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
College football is wild, man. Like, you could put a marquee ass game on week one in primetime, and they're like, it's a 24 point spread. Oh, I thought Florida was closer to Alabama than that. Well, guess not.
Well, I
love that video of Mariota this week where he said the radio interviewer asked him if he thought the Ducks would cover. He's like, that's the most disrespectful question I've had in the last few years. Mariota's saying that. I'm just saying.
I don't know what these teams are doing, because they could be like Alabama and be like a 60-point favorite versus Kent State kind of thing. It's like, I mean, we've gone over this before. It's like, why play good teams?
Oh, yeah. No.
Why start off the season with a potential loss?
Playing Georgia is idiotic. Unless you win.
Did you guys see the split in money and ticket distribution between Georgia and Oregon for this game?
Is it like 80-20?
Like, so Oregon had to sell, I think it was 6,000 tickets to get into the game. They did. And Georgia was given like 40,000 tickets they had to sell.
Yeah, not even.
And Georgia was given $6 million to play in this game, or 5.5, whatever it was. And Oregon was given like five. And I saw today on Twitter, Oregon fans like, well, why is Georgia getting paid more than Oregon? It's like, well, because they have to sell 40,000 more seats.
They're selling the-
which they will, because Athens to Atlanta is Eugene to Corvallis. Like, it is not far. There's zero expectation that Oregon does anything close to that ticket sales wise. But people were legitimately mad. I'm like, look at a map. They deserve that extra $500,000 because they're making way more than that.
Oh yeah. Like go ahead.
I think it's cool that Oregon, we say the stuff like, why play these games? A loss is bad and kills you. But I think it's cool that Oregon is in these games. But on something like that where people are freaking out, why isn't it equal? Well, it shouldn't be. Georgia's going to be the main driver of attendance. But
they really need to not call this a neutral site game,
though. Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
They will. They're like, I mean, this is an away game. I think it should be treated like that. But, you know, the pundits later in the season, they lost
to neutral site.
At a neutral site. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
The teams don't treat it that way. I mean, like, Lanning was flat out asked that, and he's like, yeah, we're treating it as a road game. Like, we're doing crowd situations, we're doing, you know, all that stuff. So
it's going to be 54 versus 12, yeah. Thousand. Like, it is what it is. And until,
most Oregon bowl games, by the way.
Fair enough. We're a small school, man. I don't know,
No, we're a track school.
We're just small. Second, little engine that could. Second smallest school in the Pac-12. Hey, even though Oregon State's bigger than the University of Oregon. No, we're just chugging along.
Golf and cross country.
No one believes in us, you know?
Us against the world. It's all
but like is. Until SoFi has been built and Allegiant has been built, no one ever wants to play at Levi's or whatever the fuck it is in Glendale. Good God. Somehow they have an ice skating rink as a field in the middle of the fucking desert. But now that SoFi and Allegiant are built, I think some of these neutral site games will even out a bit. But as of now, it is what it is. If you're going to play that game, you're going to travel to a place that is not a neutral site.
Where's Notre Dame Ohio State playing?
Columbus. That's a true home.
Okay.
They're in the shoe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an actual home and home series, or if it's a or if this is a one off or not.
I would imagine so. I doubt Notre Dame's agreeing to that if they don't get a contract for it. Because Notre Dame's signing those individual deals, man. They're not, like, conferences aren't getting involved with that shit.
They're not like Oregon, who is like, oh, okay, Ohio State, you couldn't come here because of a global pandemic.
All right.
Oh, don't worry.
Don't need to reschedule. Well, just cut us a check. We'll be fine.
Losers.
So soft.
No, and then I love, they're like, no. We didn't just take a paycheck. We're scheduling another home and home with Ohio State where, you know, it's actually kind of like a 1-2, but, you know, don't pay attention.
They're still get an extra one.
What? And I'm talking like Matt Kearney again. God, I got to figure out my.
Hey, thanks for coming in and breaking down the situation for us, Matt. Really appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Hey, Matt, you got a prediction on the Duck game this week? Where we got you?
Yeah, we're about to do lines here in a few. Yeah. You want to get in the first line?
Driving down. I think we're going to lose.
Oh, man.
I just hope we cover. How about you? All right, bye. I'm out of here.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Get out of here, Matt.
All right, I'm gone.
Wow, I'm thanking for us, man. That was nice. He got our lines off and going here because we're about to get ready for that. So, Jesus. Real quick before you do that, the NCAA adopted like the transfer rules now, so they have like it was seemingly the Wild West with like the transfer portal. Yeah, Wild West. Jim West, Desperado.
You don't want Nada.
Stop.
I don't
none
want
of this.
Anymore.
You don't want
Stop.
Nada.
Stop.
Is Cool Moe Dee going to be coming in? Okay.
That man is an abuser on a national stage.
Yes, he is. Triggered. Fuck that guy. No, but there's like a 60-day span in which they can do it now. So there's like 2 weeks in May. It's like right after spring ball ends. So if a kid doesn't like his situation after spring ball, he can transfer. He's a couple weeks to do it. And then there's 45 days, like right after, I think it said the championship teams are selected. I don't know what that means. I assume that's the playoff teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, so once they select the four playoff teams, then there's a 45-day window where players can do it. Outside of that, you can't. And that's for football, by the way, but it's the same different, you know, time, different times of the year, but
same
time spans. Yeah. Same model for the other sports too. I like it. I mean, if it's going to happen, like make it so the teams who are losing the guys or getting the guys have time to actually adjust. And so it's logically, it makes sense. That's the only take we have.
Yes. I have no take on it.
Okay. All right, let's do lines. We got stuff to do, man. Very little time to do it. And we got lines. We got the first week of picks. We got our list. Let's get to lines, Ski.
First, lines everywhere. Lines. Ski is dropping lines as he's snorting lines. Mountain West lines because Oregon's a Mountain West school. Lines.
Hey, Matt Kearney's, come back and sing the rest of it.
Oh, lines, I disagree with them. I grew up in the South Hills, and now I'm in Nashville. Clay Travis is my friend, and I none of that actually rhymed. Lines.
Grew up in the South Hills. You're telling me he doesn't know about lines? That's what we're saying here? Get out of here, Matt. You're a liar.
Get out of here.
You're a liar, Matt. All right, Ski. Where are we starting?
We're starting with a game tomorrow.
By the way, Mike Booble, I totally expect you to keep track of all of these picks how we do throughout the year and report to us weekly. Thank you very much.
All right. First one, we got TCU at Colorado. TCU, a 13.5 point road favorite against Colorado. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Fuck.
King is dead.
There's
by the way,
no way. That's the line.
13.5. And I think it came down. I think it was over.
So bad. That tells you how bad Colorado is.
0-12 watch.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I'm
we doing a star pick on the first one?
I'll be bold. TCU wins. Colorado covers. Star pick. Altitude. Wow.
Wow, Colorado covers with the
star. Covers with the star. Altitude. It's in Boulder.
Altitude.
Marijuana is illegal in Texas. The horned frogs imbibe the night before. The gummy game.
That is a hell of a take. I have TCU.
Give me TCU.
Yeah, TCU.
All right. Then the next game, I believe, is a Friday. It was tough. I had to dig to find this line. It's Northern Arizona at ASU, 27.5 points.
ASU. It's hot in Tempe. It's kind of cold in Flagstaff, where the Lumberjacks are from. So give me a Heat game. Sun Devils covered.
I got Northern Arizona covering.
The Jacks.
Yeah. I don't get why people are so high on Arizona State this year, but they seem to be. And so
Sleeping Giant.
I mean, they're going to win, but it's going to be by 3 scores, not 4.
I'm with King, and this is purely a fading the Lumberjacks. I'm surprised they still have a football team, honestly. But
just haters, man. Just haters. It's okay.
All right. Next game, we got Bowling Green at Kings Bruins, 23.5
points. My Bruins cover. They're starting 6-0. They're beating Bowling Green by 34.
Nice. You got to clap a couple times. But by the way, my visual gag of doing the Trojans like thing, doesn't really work on the podcast.
No.
Yeah.
No. Is their quarterback still a DTR?
Yes, he is the first Pac-12 quarterback to start 5 straight opening games for a team.
Give me the Bruins then. Give me the Bruins.
Hammer the Bruins. I'll take them as well.
All right. Next thing, we got Arizona at San Diego State. Potential future Pac-12-10 matchup.
Love that.
San Diego State, 6.5-point favorite.
Give me the Fighting Brady Hoax.
Oh, I got Arizona all day in this one. Arizona is improved. I didn't say much improved, but they're improved.
The Aztecs are the reigning Pac-12 champions. Well, maybe that's BYU, but that's parsing it.
Yeah, definitely BYU.
I'm taking those Techs. Tough to roll into old San Diego. And
you don't just walk into Snapdragon Stadium in inaugural game and come out with an easy dub.
No, you don't just walk in because they have a lot of security measures because it's in San Diego. Ooh. Yeah, so.
All right.
Not at the border, according to Marco Rubio.
By the way, Fernando Tatis was suspended for the rest of the season. There, we've talked about it. I know of exactly one person who cares.
And Josh Hader was a racist teen. Go Pods.
Okay, moving on. Back to picks.
Quick side note, I watched the Terminal List on Amazon Prime. It's a good show. It's kind of like a deep cover, like Marine comes back. It's got a Chris Pratt in it. It's good.
Oh, but yeah, that's the Chris Pratt show.
Yeah, it's based in San Diego, and he comes and goes pretty easily from, like, high-valued areas. So maybe it isn't too hard just to walk into San Diego and get a W. So I'm going to change my pick because of that now. Give me Zona.
Marshall Faulk. Yep,
I'm taking Zona now. Yep. All right, yeah. So Rice at USC, 32.5
USC,
points.
USC, don't care. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, USC by a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Travis Dye said this is the best locker room he's ever been in by far?
His brother was in his locker room, man. Is he really saying that?
Many people are saying that. But yes, he said it was it's the best locker room he's been in by far.
Well, I mean, Caleb Williams is buying everybody beats. I mean, can't say a bad thing about that. So
Anthony Brown bought Travis Dye beats before the Alamo Bowl. I can find there are pictures online.
I mean, you could just get beats nowadays. They're on. You can get a Groupon for beats.
Tiffany Haddish selling Groupons.
I'm just saying.
All right. Next game, we got probably one of the bigger games of the week too. We got Utah at Florida.
Florida
2.5 point favorites.
Florida. Yep, Anthony Richardson, baby. It's gonna be the athletic quarterback. The Utes just cannot hold.
Who's the favorite?
Utah by 2.5.
I got Utah.
Now, Utah is kind of the darling pick from a lot of people this year. People are saying them in the playoffs. I'm taking Utah, though.
See, I think Utah is better than Florida. That's not my thing. Yeah. The Pac-12 cannot prosper, though. There is like almost a zero chance Utah goes into Florida and wins just because Pac-12. They might win. They might roll off 12 straight wins or 11 straight wins after that, and Florida goes 6-6. But alas, Pac-12.
I just can't envision a scenario in which I pick Florida to win a game.
That's where I'm at too.
I can't see
Florida's always been. All right.
Not since the days of Chris Leak have I been a backer of Florida.
Yes. And by the way, Chris Leak, yeah, he won the national title that year. Not Tim Tebow, because Tim Tebow was a backup.
He was a gimmick. The gimmick. Backup.
Get on the one and give it to the big Christian guy. Oh, Heisman Trophy winner. Fraud.
All right. Actually, another, I guess you call it a big game too. We got Boise City going to Reser, Beavs 2.5 point favorites.
I'm actually going to take the Beavs just because Andy Avalos, I don't know, Brian Harsin, the Boise program has kind of backslid quite a bit since Chris Peterson left.
See, I'm with you on this. This is a anti-Boise pick, not a pro-Beaver pick on this one.
Yeah. And on the Beavers, though, I mean, it's to the point where Smith has been there enough time to where he should. Like, if it's going to happen, it's going to start to happen now. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see if that actually happens. But, you know, he's been there long enough. He's been getting his players long enough. Everybody who's there has now bought into it long enough to where if it's not going to happen now, it's probably not going to happen. Okay.
Well,
and so
clearly you did not catch Canzano's article saying, "I dare you to bet against Jonathan Smith. I dare you.
I do it, Frog.
I dare you to bet against Jonathan Smith.
I can't believe I missed that Canzano article about Oregon State.
I dare you.
Crazy.
I heard an interview this week with Tyson Alger and John Canzano, and Canzano asked Tyson, "Hey, how about that linebacker combo of Sewell and Flo, am I right?" And Tyson Alger's like, "Oh my god!" He's like, yeah. But I have sources on the ground in Corvallis. The Beavers' defense is bigger, stronger, and faster than ever. How about that? Yeah. We're talking about like a top five linebacker group, John. Yeah. They're bigger and stronger than ever in Corvallis. Jonathan Smith. I bought into Gary Anderson too, but I won't admit that.
Talking about arguably the best linebacker in the history of the state of Oregon.
Yes. And, but that Beaver defense, bigger, stronger, faster, they're just flying around.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Working harder. They're working harder too.
It's fast. It's fast and aggressive in quarterback.
Lunchbox. Yeah. Lunchbox defense. Yeah.
Well, are you going against Canzano?
I picked the Beavers. Yeah, I got the Beavers.
You take the Beavers?
Yeah.
Well, that's not good podcasting. Someone's got to pick against the Beavers.
Well, by the way, I'm against you guys on like three of these, so this could go very poorly for me.
All right, next game we got Kent State going to UW, 23.5 point favorite UW.
I'll go UW. New coach, offensive coach, first game, style points.
You got faith in that Indiana quarterback transfer? Penix?
No, not especially. Yeah. Well, yes, I have faith in him in September against non-conference teams. Because if you look up his stats in 4 years in Indiana, that man thrives from September 1st to September 22nd against directional schools, and then he's injured. So
yeah, you're going to hear UW fans talk this guy up, and they're not going to bring up last season at all. Because the season before, He actually had a pretty good season.
Yes, the COVID
but
season.
Last year, yeah, but last year was so bad.
I have a problem looking at 23.5 points and thinking that Washington can score 23.5 points, even if it's against Kent State. Like, so I'm going to pick Washington, but I don't feel good about it. It's because I see that number and I'm like, Washington didn't do that very often last year. And so I know they have a new coach, you know, offensive minded coach, whatever, but 23.5. Okay. Well, show me, show me. I'm going to pick you. I got you, but show me that you can actually accomplish that.
I am taking UW as well because they have to win this game handedly. They can't be playing a team like this and, you know, eke out a, you know, a touchdown win here. You know, new coach, new quarterback. He's going to want to lay it on these guys.
Four scores. You're going to win by four scores, Washington does.
And Washington was good 17 years ago.
Yeah.
27 years ago.
All right. Next game, another one I had to dig to find a line at. UC Davis at Cal. It's 21.5 points.
Oh, Cal, whatever.
Fucking who is going to watch that game?
That's...
Cal. I'll take Cal. Jesus.
I'll take UC Davis, I guess. Just to
are they the Mustangs? The Stallions? I feel like they're a horse logo.
Oh God, who cares?
Colts?
The foals?
The foals?
You said the foals?
Good question.
Yeah, isn't a baby
like a baby deer? Or baby horse?
It is.
I don't know.
Yeah. F-O-A-L. All right. Another just awful game I had to find a line. Colgate at Stanford. It's 41.5 points.
I'm going to go Stanford. But because you said Colgate, when I was in elementary school, we did this play. It was about saving the planet. And they were like, you brush your teeth. When the water is on something, so you brush your teeth. So when I hear Colgate, that's all I think about every single time.
Preschool songs?
I think it was elementary school, which is sad. You brush your teeth.
Well, I'm pandering to a big toothpaste here for us, and I'll take Colgate.
Oh, I'm he's cresting.
I'm with you, brother. He's
cresting.
He's cresting. God damn it. I got Colgate too. Again, 41.5 points for Stanford.
They brush their teeth.
Saying.
They're brushing their teeth.
The end of the pack.
Please.
Pac-12 After Dark is rough this week because the last game for Pac-12 After Dark is Idaho at Wazoo. 28.5 points.
It's the Battle of the Palouse. Go to Wazoo Socials. Man, it's a big deal for the Cougs. They have videos of guys just like rolling down hills being like, and the University of Idaho is 6 miles away. This one is ours.
You know, this one and the last couple are good indications and like, you know, good reasons why not every Pac-12 school has to play a game every week. You know, like not like you can play, push it to the end of the year. Like we don't need these games to happen. It's like the NFL getting rid of a preseason game. Can we? They don't need to. They don't need to play Colgate. Why is this happening?
I'm gonna take Idaho.
Idaho.
This one was sponsored by Big Potato. I'm picking Idaho.
You're going big potato, so you're going big toothpaste and big potato back to back.
Exactly.
I'm going Washington State.
Yeah, I'm going Wazoo, you bootlicker.
Is there QB still the guy that like got a DUI but then like just got it taken away?
Wazoo?
Scrubbed it.
Gotta be more specific, man.
No, it's Cam Ward from Incarnate Word. He's a transfer. Look him up.
Incarnate Word.
I'm just saying. If he went to Oregon just based on highlights, he'd be more excited than you were about Bo Nix. Just on highlights. I know it's Incarnate Word. I'm just saying.
I'm going Cam Ward. I'm going with big vocabulary thanks to that. I got one.
What is Incarnate Word's mascot?
Oh, it's gotta be. Yeah, it's gotta be a bird.
Or a statue.
A bird, right?
It's probably a statue of a philosopher or something. It's just stand still. They don't actually have anybody in the costume.
Yep. All right. The next game's the toss-in game, and I went Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Oh, the University of Incarnate Words mascot is a cardinal.
Cardinal. I knew it was bird. We're right there.
Well, it's the Cardinals, right? They can't be the cardinal.
Nope, they're just the cardinal.
Wow.
Which brings up something.
A singular bird.
Oh. Hey, it's now time for a surprise list. On Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be gathered around your TV to watch the University of Oregon play the University of Georgia Bulldogs. And today's surprise list is your top three canine mascots. I don't have a list as your host. Some call it a problem. I call it a grift.
Top three canine mascots. I'm going number three. I'm going Georgia.
Georgia. Ooga.
Because it's a bulldog.
It's a bulldog.
Very cute
a
bulldog.
Safe choice.
All right. My number three is Southern Illinois.
Oh, Saluki. He's a Saluki man.
My number two is Tennessee.
Oh, Rocky Top. Braga will always be down on his both knees. Hang on a second.
Oh, what's the school? There's a
ooh, baby.
There's a school. They're the Retrievers, aren't they?
I don't remember.
Isn't there a school that's a I think there's a school that's the Retrievers.
That's not
that
Stone,
was a basketball
not,
school,
that's
right?
Not Stony Brook, is it?
Maryland of University of Baltimore, Maryland County. I think
that
they're the Retrievers.
Right. That counts.
Yeah, definitely a basketball. Yep, counted.
That's your two. All right, my number one is the Huskies. And I apologize for that, but Huskies are cool dogs.
They're actually not. I gotta be honest.
Cool, they're cool looking dogs. You would never want to
cool
own
on
one
TV.
Though, because they're absolutely aggressive and they're assholes.
My neighbor has a husky, and it's really annoying. It likes to dig under my fence every day.
All right. Another one. I don't know the school. I'm pretty sure there's a Terriers.
That would be the Boston Terriers.
Boston,
BU.
Yeah.
Don't
BU,
you watch
right?
College
yeah,
Hockey?
There you go.
The Bean Pot, baby.
Ooh,
and
baby.
And thus concludes today's surprise list.
Well done on the surprise list. So Notre Dame and Ohio State?
Yep. 17 and a half.
For Ohio State?
Yeah.
It's a big number. Ohio State, you may remember, lost like five first round picks at wide receiver.
Yeah, and they have four more.
Got a whole. They're all freshmen though, right?
No, I love how they're like two returning like bad receivers had five touchdowns and 400 yards in the Rose Bowl, like Jackson Smith and Jigba and Marvin
That's
Harrison's
right.
kid. I think
that's right. He came back. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta go Ohio State.
Yeah, this is a route.
OHIO.
Yeah.
OHIO. All right, last game. We got Ducks and Georgia. We're doing it 17 and a half as well.
I think Oregon covers.
Yep, same.
And I don't think it's indicative that Oregon is in the same class as Georgia. I think it's first game muck. I think it's pace of play. I think it's Kirby Smart. If they're up by 20 in the fourth, he's just going to kind of not try and rub it in. Yeah, I got Oregon.
I think Oregon wins.
No! Yeah. Let's go! This is a big old boss!
Yes, sir.
If
Flo can stay on the field for more than a quarter, I legitimately think Oregon wins. That's me saying Justin Flo is the difference in this football game. Yeah, you heard me. Shut the fuck up. Get out of my face.
Listen, no. No, this is the Bo Nix podcast.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're picking Bo Nix to go to 1-3 against Georgia in his career. So, you know, yeah.
He's got to get off the schneid. I think Oregon wins it.
All right. I'm star picking Oregon.
Here you go. Yes, I was just going to say.
Not straight up.
Star picking.
Not straight up, no. But okay. He's straight. All right, that's going to be worth like 5 if the Ducks somehow straight up win for you.
Yes, sir.
If Oregon straight up wins, you for every point they win by, you get that point going towards your season total.
Oh, it's over after week one.
Yes, it's a wrap. So this is Carter 2000 dunk contest in Oakland motioning. It's over if Oregon wins.
I actually think this 17 to 17 and a half is a fucking lock. Deep diving a little bit, I was looking at their offensive line. I think there's 4 sophomores and a redshirt junior, and they lost both their left tackle and left guard. I just don't think they're going to score a ton.
Defensive front, by the way.
Their top 2 receivers, I believe, and I think their top running back. I just don't think they're going to light up the scoreboard. I think it might just be a slog fest because I think
that's my
Ducks
thing.
Yeah, I think Ducks D will be fine against them. I don't know if the offense is going to score a bunch, but close game.
And I know we probably should have talked more Oregon Georgia during this podcast because
we're about to do Georgia trivia, so you'll learn everything you need to know about Georgia here coming up.
But I am very, very, very excited to see this Oregon defense. I have no flipping idea what the Oregon offense will look like, and that's not even a Bo Nix thing. That's a Kenny Dillingham thing. I got no clue. I'm jacked to see this defense.
Christian Gonzalez, we have not talked about enough.
Well, that's my thing is, a couple weeks ago, the coaches, first team Pac-12 things came out. And if you just look at the first and second team, they got Christian Gonzalez, they got Bennett Williams, they got Flo, they got Sewell, they got Dorless. Those are 5 guys that they won't all, because that's just not how it works. But if any of those 5 guys were on the first team, would you be surprised?
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Second team, you'd be okay, Bennett Williams, second team. Okay, whatever. I am very much excited to see those guys.
Yogi Roth picked his top 5 like preseason defensive players for the whole conference. And 3 of them are in the top 5 for Oregon.
Hell yeah.
He picks Sewell, Gonzalez, and Dorless. And so that doesn't even include Flo. And because Flo hasn't played the last 2 years.
That's the thing is, Flo is such a wild card where he's going to be just a heat-seeking missile and probably make some dumb plays. But he's not your dependent to be the best player. So
Jeffrey Bass is going to be Michael
Clay. Oh, I love Bass.
You know what I mean?
We are very pro Bass.
This is a Bass podcast.
Yes. Pico and Clay. Yes, Bass is your Clay.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you need you kind of really need that jump from Sewell this year of not like his athleticism, but just like the game slows down for him.
Covering the pass.
exactly.
Lateral movement in space.
Yes. Because he needs to be the one that kind of anchors those guys together. Because like I said, Flo, he hasn't played. He's just going to be, you're huge and fast. Just go. Kind of like what Sewell was for the first year in chain. To
blow somebody up.
With them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you do need that guy that anchors that linebacking core. You can't have all wild cards out there. It'd just be chaos.
You might have a shit ton of tackle for losses,
but
I'll take it.
They're going to get...
Lots of personal fouls on the quarterback. I'll take all those too. Give me all of it. Blow them up. All right, do you have anything else on this before I get to trivia?
Are you guys interested in just kind of seeing Lanning, like what he does with the defense? Because, I mean, that's his whole thing, right? He's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
The offense, I think, is just that's the toss up. I have no expectations or idea what the offense is going to look like. I'm really just going to look at the defense to see if they're a dominant thing.
Especially because we don't really know who's starting. Like, Bo Nix is starting, but like everywhere else, we don't know really how that's going to look yet, and we won't until Saturday. So we'll see.
I don't think we know what the offense is is either.
What it's going to look like.
What style of play we run.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, exactly.
Woo! Saturday's going to be fun, boys. I'm ready. Hey. I wasn't excited until just now, by the way.
By the way. Before I forget, because I will forget. Hey, guys. One of our listeners set up a fantasy football league for us. And it would be cool if we could get two or three of you guys to join. Two. Oh, I am hearing that it is now just two.
Two open slots.
There's no money involved. There's nothing involved. Just pride.
Yeah, you can win a Seinfeld season 7 DVD set.
I will throw in the Blu-ray of Gran Torino and 2012 Mark Ingram NCAA football to the second place winner.
On Xbox 360.
And we will throw the link up on our socials, which means, Alex,
it's already up there. I posted it today. It is on the @TSBpod page. Go find it. There's two more spots open. Get in there. The draft is this weekend.
I think I have a burn DVD of Book of Eli. We want to throw that in as well.
Ooh,
burn DVD. That is a good one.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I have a CD of the best of NYC rap from 2003 that I will throw in
Let's
there.
Let's go. Queensbridge.
I even drew the Twin Towers on there in memoriam. I did. I'm not even lying. Got 100 guns, 100 grips. They're from New York.
All I want to do is make jokes I can't make.
No, you can't. Yeah,
I'm not going to. We're moving on to trivia. But seriously, join the fantasy football. It'll be fun. All right, Georgia trivia. I ask a question. I give three options. First person gets to guess. If they get it wrong, second person gets to guess between the other two. And we go back and forth, blah, blah, blah. I don't have enough time to explain the rules. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
King, you start. Who is Georgia's all-time leading rusher in yards and touchdowns?
Herschel Walker.
It is indeed Herschel Walker. 5,259 yards.
Hey, guys, this is my impression of Herschel Walker.
I love to hear it.
Doing a campaign speech. Air. China bad.
America great.
Number one.
Ichiban. All right, Ski. Walker won the Heisman in 1982. Who is Georgia's only other Heisman winner? Your options. Matt Stafford, Frank Sinkwich, or Garrison Hurst?
Well, it's easy. I'm able to eliminate two, so the second guy.
Sinkwich. Say his name. Yeah, that's the answer. Couldn't be easier. All right, King. Who is Georgia's all-time leading receiver in yards, touchdowns, and catches? Your options. A.J. Green, Terrence Edwards, or Hines Ward? I did not realize Hines Ward went to Georgia until I started looking stuff up.
I feel like this is a trick question, but I'll say A.J. Green.
Ski, your options.
Ooh, yeah.
Terrence Edwards or Hines Ward?
I'm going to go with Terrence Edwards.
The answer is Terrence Edwards.
Hey.
Got you with the obvious one that you thought was a trick one. All right, so now it goes
Who
to
was
Ski.
He? When did he play? When did
I don't
this guy
know.
Play?
I didn't write it down. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But he is their best receiver all time in everything. Okay, now it goes to Ski. This Emmy-winning alumni of Georgia has hosted a long syndicated radio show out of Los Angeles and has hosted many TV shows, including American Idol. Who is it?
Oh, what's that guy's name?
Oh, I gotta give you the options, right?
No, come on.
No.
This is
I picture the guy.
By the way, did I mess up? Am I supposed to give the options first? I can't remember. Did I do that last year? I feel like I gave the options if you didn't get it right.
I think that was if you didn't get it right.
Okay. So from now on we'll do that. We're doing great.
I can't remember. Pharrell on the bench.
I thought you meant from the Nerds or whatever.
Pharrell. Pharrell on the bench.
With his big old hat. Your options, King. Tyra Banks, Ryan Seacrest, or Carson Seacrest. Daly?
Seacrest.
The answer is Seacrest. I went to Georgia. Surprising.
Yeah, I would have thought he went to like UCSB, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, so now it is King's turn. What city is the University of Georgia located in?
Much like the 2004 Summer Olympics, Athens.
That is correct.
REM from Athens. REM, a bad band.
REM also went to the University of Georgia.
Tell me that's a question.
I did have to skip over the name of the mascot question though, because we went over that earlier.
Was it Harry Dog or something? Or
okay.
Ugga? They got two of them.
Ugga.
Yeah, Ugga and Harry Dog.
It's Ugga, by the way. They're on Ugga number 10 since 2015. Ugga number 6 is the winningest mascot. 87-27 in his time there. They've had a live mascot since 1956. There, now you know everything you'll ever need to know about that. Whose turn is it? Ski?
Mine.
Yeah. Who is Georgia's all-time leader in wins as a head coach?
Ooh, that's tough.
Ricked? He was there forever, wasn't he?
It's a hard question. The answer is not Ricked. Your
Vince
options...
Dooley.
Yeah, it is Vince Dooley.
Is it?
God. Yeah, nice work.
Wow. I saw Rick, was Rick not there for 20 years?
He was. 15 years. I only know that. 15. I read it today.
Dooley was there longer.
Yes.
Georgia. So this is Ski, right? Yes. No?
Nope. King.
Me. King. Okay. Yeah. Which team does Georgia play in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party?
The Florida Gators.
They do. That's 5. King wins.
Georgia. Georgia.
We might have time for our list, by the way. Real quick. Who is Georgia's all-time leader in sacks?
David Pollack.
David Pollack is the answer.
Well, it's probably a future if we're talking about sack.
Georgia has had 5 number one overall picks. Who is the only quarterback?
Stafford.
Matt Stafford is the correct answer. All right, well, let's do...
Wait, it's not Fromm?
It's not Fromm. Or Murray? Murray?
Right? Aaron Murray.
Murray.
Present.
Murray.
Present.
He had to be their... he has to be their all-time leading passer, because he played 1,000 games for Georgia.
Murray. Present. Okay, let's do our list real quick. So it has to do with the fantasy football league that one of our listeners started. And it is our top 3 fantasy football guys. So we got like 2 minutes to do this. So your stereotypical fantasy football guys.
So in 1 minute and 50 seconds, give me your top 3 worst fantasy football guys.
Number 3, auto-assigned picture or name guy. Figure it out, man. Come up with a name. Google it. Do something.
All right, my number 3 is auto draft guy. You have plenty of time to know when the draft is. Fucking draft a team.
That's my number 1 is auto draft guy. It's fucking embarrassing. Fucking embarrassing. King?
I had it. Where'd it go?
My number 2, mid-level flex for a starting running back guy. Fuck off. No one's ever going to take that. Miss me with that. Get to stepping.
My number 2, guy that immediately tries to trade his entire team right after the draft.
Right after the draft.
Yeah. Oh,
that was my number 3.
Draft better is the answer.
Or release half their team after the draft as well. Yeah. Like, geez, you're terrible. You might as well auto draft. That's basically auto draft guy anyways.
Yeah.
My number 2 is the Wanderer. By September 11th, he's gone. He's just no longer there. He's just gone.
Who is this?
He's patriotic.
Who?
He's just gone.
The Wanderer.
Oh, The Wanderer.
He just
wanders
in like once a month and makes a move.
He's very patriotic. He can't do fantasy football.
And then fucking wins the league, which is the worst part. What's your one, Ken?
My number one is guy that ad drops a different kicker every week. Pick a fucking kicker, stick to him. They all suck if you're ad dropping kickers every week. Commit to one shitty guy or not.